and Jess are enjoying a weekend away. They're at Old Threshers in Mount Pleasant. I think that's where it's at. And so I have the privilege of speaking with you this morning. Have you ever had a time in your life where you were disappointed? Ever? Yes? Am I the only one? You know, I'm wondering if you've ever had a time where you thought something was going to work out a certain way and it just didn't. It didn't work out and it left you disappointed. Well, I can tell you that my husband and I have experienced disappointment in the last couple weeks. We were told that if we were to switch from an Android to an iPhone, that it was going to be amazing, that we would never look back, it would be everything we hoped it would be. And I don't know that we're actually super impressed with it. We're a little disappointed. One of the things that we miss is the back button. I don't know where it went. If you're an Android user, I loved the back button. But also, we're old, okay? So the young people, when they text, they don't use punctuation, okay? And so then I don't know how anybody understands what they're saying, but they just don't use the punctuation. Well, we're old, so we use punctuation. And if you have an iPhone on that main page, you see the letters, but there's no period, right? And so for the first couple weeks, we're like, where's the period? There's no way to end the sentence. And so we realize that there's a shortcut, okay? If you double tap on the space bar, it gives you a period. Did you guys know that? Okay, there you go. So there's a ton of these little shortcuts that obviously can make your life amazing, but you have to know what they are, right? And so for the longest time, we were super frustrated about it. So now we know there's a shortcut. All the preschoolers knew that there was a way to get the period on there, but we did not know that because we were old and whatever. So we'll see if we end up loving it. I don't know. But that's just a small thing. Okay, no big deal. We can figure out how to use our iPhones. It's not a problem. But maybe there's something in your life that is a bigger disappointment. Okay? Maybe you were hoping for that promotion at work. Thought you had it. You were ready to go. You gave a great interview or a great audition or whatever, and you didn't get it. You didn't get the promotion, and you were disappointed. Maybe you have raised your kids up in church. You've raised them up in the Lord. You did everything that you thought you should do as a parent. And now your adult children are making decisions that you don't love. Maybe they're not on the right path. And so it's leaving you a little disappointed. Maybe you've dreamed of a happy marriage. You thought it was going to be forever. And then one day you realize it's not going to happen. And you find yourself single. Okay, that's a disappointment for sure. And maybe you thought that you would never deal with anxiety and depression, okay? But there are days that are just a battle, and you find yourself struggling. Maybe when you were young, you had a vision and a dream of what your life was going to be like. Did you ever, like, dream about your life when you were younger? Maybe you young people kind of have an idea of what your life's going to be like. And raise your hand if your life did not turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Yeah, I took a totally different path. It did not turn out. I'm with you. Mine sure did not turn out the way I thought it was going to be. But sometimes life turns out the way that you didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Okay? It just doesn't happen. The reality is that sometimes life throws you a curveball. And we're faced with disappointments. And so what do we do? I mean, maybe these are disappointments that happen as a result of our own choices. Maybe we've messed up in some way and it puts us on a path that we didn't think we were going to be on. But sometimes these disappointments are a result of other people's choices. And maybe somebody else has done something that kind of rocked your world and left you kind of spinning. So either way, we're faced with a choice, right? We're faced with a choice of how are we going to respond when these difficult times come. What are we going to do? Are we going to blame God? Are we going to blame other people? Are we going to be angry and bitter? Or are we going to choose to forgive those who've hurt us? So we have a choice. So there's a story in the Bible that some of you might be familiar with. It's a man who experienced huge disappointments. Okay? His story begins in Genesis chapter 37. Some of you might be familiar with Joseph. His story actually spans over several chapters, like 13 chapters. So I thought we shouldn't just sit here and read 13 chapters of the Bible this morning. I didn't know if you'd be able to stay awake for that. I know one person who would probably be asleep. But so I'm going to give you a quick overview of, I'm not pointing at my husband, no. We're just going to do a quick overview of his life. I really want you to stay with me on this because some of the events in his life are really important, and some of them you might identify with. You might think that they sound familiar, but it's really important to kind of lay out his life so we can get the whole picture. So I'm going to summarize. Can you follow me? Are you with me? Okay. Joseph is the son of Jacob and Rachel. He has 11 brothers and one sister. Now that might be the problem and the disappointment right there, right in the beginning. Imagine 11 brothers and one sister. Some of them were half-brothers and half-sister. So chapter 37:3 gives us some insight into his family dynamic, okay? His family dynamic is really interesting. The Bible tells us that his father Jacob loved Joseph more than any other of his brothers and sisters. Don't raise your hand if you're a parent and you have favorites, okay? Let's just not admit it, but not that that ever happens. But that might be a problem, okay? Because of the way it was displayed, it wasn't like he had this, the dad didn't say, yeah, I kind of like Joseph more, he's kind of my kid, you know. But he actually let it be known to his other brothers and sisters that Joseph was the favorite. He gave him a coat, a special robe, and have you heard the coat of many colors, anybody? Right? I don't know if it was rainbow the way we see it on TV, probably not, but the coat symbolized favor. And so he was given the special coat. One day, Joseph has a dream. Are you following me so far? Okay, he's got the coat. He's thinking he's all that. He has a dream where his family actually bows down to him. And his brothers bow down to him. And if I had a dream where my family was going to be like serving me and bowing down to me, I probably wouldn't tell them. I just might have kept that to myself. But Joseph was a little bit arrogant, and he tells his brothers about his dream. And what that did was it further fueled their hatred of him. So can you imagine having other siblings and telling your brothers and sisters, yeah, one day you're going to bow down to me. Do you think that would go over very well? I don't think it would. And it didn't go well for Joseph. His brothers became angry, and they plotted to kill him. They kidnapped Joseph, and they threw him into a large pit, okay? So Joseph was eventually sold into slavery. The guy who purchased him was named Potiphar, and he was the captain of the guard in the king of Egypt's army, okay? Or for the king of Egypt. And so Joseph worked for Potiphar. So he's gone from being at home, comfortable, beaten up by his brothers, thrown into a big pit, and now he's sold into slavery. And so he's finds himself working for Potiphar. And Potiphar, he works really hard for Potiphar. And because Joseph is a hard worker, he has character, okay? While Potiphar is noticing Joseph's hard work, Potiphar's wife notices Joseph's good looks. And she takes an interest in him. And she tries to seduce him. But Joseph refuses to sin because he knows that if he sins with her, he's sinning against God. High five Joseph, right? He knows that that's not right, so he's not going to do that. But he was wrongly accused and put in prison. Okay? Are you still with me? Following me? Okay. We're summarizing. We're almost at the end here. Okay. So Joseph is now in prison. He continues to faithfully serve God wherever he's at. He interprets the dreams, and eventually he gets the attention of the king of Egypt. And the king is so impressed with Joseph's wisdom that Joseph goes from prison to palace, where he works his way up the ranks, and he becomes governor over all of Egypt. Is that quite a story? It's like this, right? Okay, so he finds himself governing Egypt, okay? And do you think that Joseph had an idea of how his life was going to go? And it didn't go that way. Do you think he was disappointed? Yeah. He probably thought, I'm the favorite. I'm gonna just get a great inheritance. I'm just gonna write out my time. I'm gonna get an awesome inheritance. My family's gonna bow down to me. Life is gonna be great. And it just didn't work out that way. It did not go the way he thought it would. Can you relate to Joseph? Two things stood out to me as I was reading Joseph's story that I think are going to be helpful for us today. So Joseph realized that there was purpose in his pain. And he realized that with God's help, he was able to forgive those people who hurt him. Okay? And so I think one of the most amazing parts of this whole story is at the end. While serving as the governor of Egypt, there was a famine in the land that forced Joseph's family to go to Egypt to get food. And it's there that Joseph is finally reunited with his brothers. Okay? And if you haven't read the whole story, I just encourage you this week, just take some time. Start in chapter 37 in Genesis, or maybe even before that, gives a little bit of background. It takes you all the way through almost, well, to the end of Genesis. But it's such a remarkable story. I wanted to read this verse to you that really stood out to me. So Joseph is reunited with his brothers, and when he sees his brothers, he was angry and he beat them up and threw them into prison. Is that what it says? No, he didn't do that. He may have wanted to at some point, but he got to the point where he was able to do this, and it says that he began to weep. Okay, they, the brothers, were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. They were probably like, how in the world is this Joseph? Didn't we like kill him and throw him into a pit? Didn't we like get rid of him? How in the world is he standing before us? This is impossible. Please come closer, he says to them. So they came closer, and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery to Egypt. But don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me ahead of you to preserve your lives. And so it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt. So Joseph had a really good perspective. He had the right perspective when it came to the trials in his life. He recognized that it was God that allowed all these things to happen, but for a purpose, so that he could help save Egypt and the surrounding countries in the time of famine. And so he was able to see the big picture of how God was actually working in his life through all these different events that happened to really bring about and accomplish God's purposes as a whole. And so Joseph realized that there was purpose in his pain. And he could see beyond maybe what had happened to him or the circumstances that he was in. He could see that there was purpose in his pain. And have you ever wondered in your own life, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? What is the purpose behind this? Sometimes it's hard to see in the moment that we're in the struggle, but maybe when we are beyond it and we can look back, we can see that actually God was working in it and that good things came of it, right? And so not only was Joseph able to see his purpose, that there was purpose in the pain, he was actually able to forgive those people who hurt him, which is really amazing. I mean, if you were treated so bad by your brothers or even some friends, I mean, wouldn't that be hard to forgive that? I mean, we can forgive some things, but being beaten up, kidnapped, you know, all of that, like that's amazing that he was able to come to that point where he was able to forgive them. I mean, he was kidnapped, sold into slavery. They lied to their father about him, right? And so all these things happened, but yet he was able to forgive. And he knew that if he didn't choose to forgive, that God couldn't continue to do the work in his life. And so how was it possible for Joseph to forgive his brothers? He was a man of character. And even though he was betrayed, he stayed close to God through it all, being sold into slavery. Throughout all the events that happened in his life, he stayed close to God and he worked hard wherever he was. I think that was pretty remarkable. When I was in college, I met an amazing guy. He was charming. He was a Christian. He loved Jesus. His parents were pastors. And I thought, What could possibly go wrong? Our life's going to be great, right? I wasn't so naive to think that we would have this perfect life or that marriage was going to be perfect. But I didn't expect 2 years into the marriage that he would have a gambling addiction and other addictions. Okay, I didn't expect that. So my entire world came crashing down. And when you're young, you kind of have an idea of what your life's going to be like. And it didn't turn out that way. And so I was left with a young child to try to figure out what to do. And so we went to counseling for like 6 years, tried to, you know, work it out. But it became really obvious that he continued in his addiction, and it became very apparent that it wasn't going to work out, that we just couldn't continue in the marriage. And so let me just tell you that I am not perfect, and I did not respond perfectly to everything that happened in the marriage or every, you know, circumstance. I didn't always respond perfectly, but it became clear that I couldn't stay in the marriage and that it was not good, wasn't healthy. And so my marriage ended, and honestly, I can tell you that it was one of the just the hardest times of my life. But during that time, I never questioned my faith. I never questioned, where is God? Why? I mean, I probably questioned, why is this happening? I mean, and I don't think that's a bad question, but I never questioned my faith. And I never questioned where God was. I knew he was with me. I didn't know what his plan was. I didn't know what he was doing. And so there's a quote that I really love that I remember during that time. It's by Rick Warren, and it says, "You never know that God is with you until God is all you have." And that's how I felt in that moment. So have you ever been in that place where you just feel like your whole world is has exploded, or you just feel like, what in the world is happening? I don't know where to go, what to do from there. Maybe you've suffered a great loss, and maybe you're still trying to figure out what the purpose is. That is how I felt during that time. My entire world was just upside down. But through it all, I never questioned God's goodness. And as I look back on it, I can see so clearly how God was with me during that whole time. Just, you know, providing jobs for me and providing people who could support me. And this church, obviously, was a huge support to me during that time. But I never questioned God's goodness. And just like Joseph, he knew that God was with him. I knew that God was with me. He's with you in your suffering. And hopefully you can look back on your life and maybe during those tough times and see that God was working things out and that he's with you. So now I'm happily married, I can say. Next month we'll celebrate 18 years. I have a beautiful family, yes. But God is good, and I can see God's goodness in my life. And I think if we choose to see the good things that come from it, we'll know that God has accomplished awesome things. So we're not perfect. We don't have a perfect marriage, right? Some people say that. But we love each other, and we're committed to each other. And so looking back, I can see God's faithfulness, and I can see that God used it for his purposes in my life. And I can tell you that had I never gone through that, when I say this, I really do mean it, that I would not be who I am today. Like, God used that time to mold me and shape me into who he wants me to be. And it strengthened my faith, because I had nowhere else to look, right, but to God. And so for that, I'm thankful, right? And it brought me closer to the Lord, because I had to totally depend on him. So had I not gone through that, I would not have my beautiful family. And I wouldn't be standing before you today. I wouldn't. So I can see that there was purpose in my pain. So how was it possible for Joseph to forgive his brothers? He knew that if he hung on to forgiveness, it would hinder the work that God wanted to do in his life. And so maybe you can identify with Joseph. Maybe there's something in your life, or maybe you feel as though life didn't go the way you thought it was going to go. And maybe, like Joseph, you had people who hurt you or betrayed you. causing you deep pain. And you know that God is with you, and maybe you recognize that there's purpose in the pain, but you're still hanging on to that unforgiveness. Maybe it's just really hard when you think of that person or think of that situation, maybe it's really hard for you to even allow yourself to forgive. So let me just say that forgiveness does not mean that you approve of what someone did. It's not putting a stamp of approval on what happened. Just because you forgive doesn't mean that what they did was okay. It doesn't. And it doesn't mean that you have to stay in the relationship. Sometimes there are times where you have to separate yourself from people and not be close to them because it's just too hurtful. And we have to have good boundaries, right? So what forgiveness does mean is that you're choosing to release the resentment. You're choosing to walk in forgiveness and to give forgiveness to someone even if they don't deserve it. It's not dependent on whether they deserve it or not, because unforgiveness really doesn't hurt them. It hurts you, right? And so forgiveness is just releasing the resentment and not holding on to the bitterness. And so, Gage, would you go ahead and just come, and he's going to help me wrap it up here. So I had to come to the place where I had to forgive, and it wasn't easy. It took time, a long time. And now when I think about him, I don't want to like strangle him or gouge his eyes out. I actually pray for him. And not that I ever wanted to do that. No. But you know, sometimes anger is just so real. And I can honestly say that when I think about him, I pray for him and I wish him well. I don't have ill feelings towards him. But is that because I'm so awesome? Because I'm a great person? No, no, honestly, it's because of God's goodness and his work in my life. I mean, there's no reason why I should walk in forgiveness. He doesn't deserve it, you know? But it's because of what God has done in my life, the work that he's done in my life. And I know that if I hold on to it, it's just hurting me and holding me back. So, the Bible describes Joseph as a Christ type. And that means that his life points to Christ, okay? And there's some similarities between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. That's what it means when it says he's a Christ type. So these are the things that stood out to me about the life of Joseph. Their fathers loved them deeply or dearly. They were shepherds of their father's sheep. They were hated by their brothers. Others plotted to harm them. They were tempted. They were taken to Egypt. They were sold for the price of a slave. They were both 30 years old at the beginning of their public recognition. What people did to hurt them, God turned for good. They were bound in chains, falsely accused. They both saved a nation, and they both forgave who wronged them. And so as I was studying the life of Joseph, and I was thinking about the greatest story of forgiveness. And you know what the greatest story of forgiveness is? Jesus. Yeah. It's when Jesus went to the cross for you and me. He forgave each one of us for all of our sins. And he didn't have to go to the cross. He chose to go to the cross for all of us because he loves us. Is that great? In Luke 23:34, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He was mistreated, spit on, beaten, hung on a cross, and he's praying for people for their forgiveness. Is that an example to us? And so we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. We've been forgiven much, our sin. And so what would it look like if we all chose to walk in forgiveness? If we were free from the anger and the bitterness that we carry? Because unforgiveness, again, it doesn't hurt the offender. It hurts us. What if we could forgive and walk in freedom and be a model for our children of what unforgiveness looks like? So let's go ahead and pray. We're just going to close our eyes. I just wonder if as I was talking this morning, as we were talking about the life of Joseph and just how mistreated he was, and then just throughout the whole events of his life, that God was with him. And everything that happened to Joseph, he chose to forgive. And I'm wondering this morning as I was talking, if someone came to your mind and there's someone that you need to forgive. Maybe someone has hurt you deeply, or maybe they hurt someone you love. Maybe you've tried to forgive, but you can't seem to shake it. You want to forgive, and you don't want to carry the burden anymore. If that's you and you want to release it to the Lord this morning, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you are. If you feel like you're holding on to anger and bitterness, or maybe you just haven't fully forgiven someone and you want to forgive, you want to just be released of it this morning, just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to walk in forgiveness. Thank you. See your hand. Thank you, God. Or maybe, thank you, you can put your hands down. Maybe as you were listening this morning, you realized that you were the one who hurt someone. Maybe you sinned against somebody else. Or maybe you sinned against God, and maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's something in your life that you know is not right and is keeping you from a right relationship with God. And you know that you need to make a change. And you want to ask the Lord to forgiveness and to surrender what is heavy on your heart this morning. If that's you, you can raise your hand and just say, yes, I want to just make it right with God. Okay. Thank you. God, thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, for examples of how to live and what to do when we face really hard situations. Thank you, God, through every situation of our lives that you are with us. There is purpose in our pain. Help us to see how you use each situation, God, to mold us and shape us and to draw us closer to you. Thank you, God, for loving us enough to send your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He was the ultimate example of forgiveness. And thank you, God, for an example of what forgiveness looks like. Thank you, Lord, that in you there is freedom from bitterness and anger. And God, we can have freedom from unforgiveness. We love you, Lord. And so today we just choose to walk in freedom. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to go to somebody else and ask for forgiveness, Lord, I pray that they would do that this week and just be able to just have a clear conscience and just get it off their chest. God, help us to make it right. And so, Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. I pray that you would continue to do that work, Lord. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.